Welcome to Highly Questionable. What day is it? Is it Friday?
Thursday.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry. It's only Thursday. I'm Kate Nolan, that's Pablo Torre. We got Izzy Gutierrez, and I'm really sorry that I made you think it was Friday. Let's talk about sports.
Gonna need to process this.
Would it be good or bad for college sports if Texas and Oklahoma join the SEC?
Okay, the big report that may either be a gigantic bombshell or eventually nothing coming out of college football is that Texas and Oklahoma want to allegedly leave the Big 12 and join the SEC. This was reported by the Houston Chronicle, and in the days, hours since that was reported, it's become a big thing. Texas and Oklahoma moving to the SEC would be lucrative for them. It would also be lucrative for the SEC, who's looking to compete with the Big Ten, who is doing better than they are financially, and whose media rights deal is up and will be renegotiated before the SEC's new deal. So by adding these two teams, Texas, which is a huge financial add, even though football-wise they haven't been great for the last decade, would be big and would help propel them way up ahead of the Big Ten financially, which, as a reminder, is what it's all about. Would it be good for teams in the SEC? Well, I think a lot of them would like it, but I can think of one who wouldn't, and that would be Texas A&M, who likes being the only Texas team, as their AD said at Media Day.
You know, our position is, look, there's a reason why we left the Big 12 back in 2011 and started in July 1st of 2012, is that we wanted to have a standalone identity in the state of Texas and all the turmoil that was happening in college athletics at the time. And so the SEC has been a perfect fit for us. And we believe that we want to maintain that same identity. Perhaps there's a reason why Texas and Oklahoma are looking around, if that's the case.
And the reason, if that were the case, would be probably money. I mean, it's just usually the safe answer to any question. But yes, of course, Texas A&M wants to be the only Texas team there. That makes the most sense for them to not have to compete with a team like Texas within their own conference. The thing is, in order for Texas and Oklahoma to join the SEC, 11 of the 14 teams in the SEC will have to vote to support that. So Texas A&M alone will not be enough to keep Texas and therefore Oklahoma from joining the SEC. So truly anything could happen, to the point where Texas could even end up independent and not in the SEC. We don't really know what the moves are yet, but we're watching all of them and sort of paying attention to where it could go. This could be huge and a big step in this new future of what college football looks like.
So the past of college football has been rooted, of course, in its individualized local cultures. That is what makes the sport so magical and very different from the NFL. But all of that clearly does not matter, because we live in a world where the Big 12 has 10 teams and the Big 10 has 14 teams, and none of the words matter. All that matters is the bottom line that Katie alluded to, which is money. And look, yes, the big bank is the thing that the Big 12 is most worried about. They are trying to catch the Big 10. They're trying to catch the SEC. What is fascinating and hilarious to me, though, is that as much as this is a signal of a new era, because NIL, all of these players getting paid in one way or another, as much as that is this scary, crazy future for a college football industrial complex that is very used to only having to pay the administrators and the coaches, Texas and Oklahoma flirting around is also a tale as old as time. Like, they talked about joining the Pac-10 or the Pac-12, to keep the numbers straight, in 2011. That's a thing they wanted to do. And the Pac-12, as you may recall, is on the West Coast, right? So nothing about geography even matters. This is a thing they basically batted eyelashes, I believe one story put it, towards every conference in the Power Five, because when money is available on the table, you just want to grab it. And everybody is thinking, my iceberg is getting smaller and smaller and smaller, so time to combine it with the people who seem to be most prepared for the Titanic.
I thought I heard a crying baby earlier while Katie was talking, but I'm pretty sure that was just Texas A&M fans? Yep. Oh, no, it was your child. Okay, never mind. Look, I do think that this is sort of just where the NCAA and college football is headed. It seems like we're headed to some sort of a super team conference, whether it be 4 of 16, whether it be somehow breaking down like 30-some-odd teams that are in the top tier of college football, and that's all there is for that year's championship. And maybe in the future we have some sort of setup where, yeah, teams can sort of play their way into that or play their way out a little bit of relegation situations like they do in the Premier League in English soccer. So I do think that that's where we're going. We might even have another, you know, below FCS, if you will, somewhere in the middle, another sort of conference with all these other middle of the pack teams that have nowhere to go. Because look, it's just, we've seen it in soccer with the Super League attempt. It's just the format that's headed to college football, because we know it's not real amateurism. It's a business. And everybody's starting to realize, okay, we can't fake this anymore. So Texas and Oklahoma go into the SEC. Texas has been a bad football team for 10 years, but you put them on at 7 p.m. against Georgia or LSU. That's way more enticing for viewers and way more enticing for TV providers than, say, you know, a noon or 11 a.m. game against Oklahoma State. So whether or not this particular move happens, whether it's Texas going independent, Oklahoma floating around somewhere, we're going to see these changes coming. So get used to it.
But that's what's crazy. And you said the key phrase there that we should say on ESPN, especially the television providers, the rights holders. That's why this is all happening, right? There are billions on the line in media rights deals that are going to be up in 2024, as Katie said. But it's especially wild because Texas is terrible right now. Texas going to the SEC would almost assuredly make it harder for Texas to make the college football playoff. The thing will make like very, very emotional videos about the journey to the playoff and all this stuff. But no, it's not about that, because what you really want, again, is the check. The check that comes with being part of the biggest and baddest conference if they can overtake the Big Ten.
I understand that when we talk about college football, you're not supposed to say most of it out loud, as was evidenced by the fact that Oklahoma and Texas both addressed this report and were basically, to sum them up, we're like, we don't talk about anonymous sources. There's a lot of rumors swirling around college football, which if you pay attention to college football, you know, is as close to a confirmation of a report as you're going to get, because it wasn't an outright denial. So I know we don't say things just plainly and out loud, but may I, real quick, just request that when conferences realign, we rename them and don't include numbers in the names, because they're clearly going to change. Just name them like the SEC. It just means more because there's no number. It doesn't indicate how many teams there are. It just means there's going to be more. Just name it something without a number, because this gets very confusing and annoying.
They should change it to the number of millions every team gets every year. Just change it every year. This year, the SEC 46 on ESPN.
Should CP3 ditch the Suns to play with his buddy LeBron?
I mean, can we take it? Can he have a day off? Can he have a day off before this becomes a new headline? Mark Spears had an amazing story for The Undefeated, basically saying that the Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron James are seeking a veteran point guard to bring into the team. Chris Paul's name came up, as did Russell Westbrook's, which is also an interesting idea. But the question is, should CP3 ditch the Suns and join the Lakers? And yesterday, I feel like I treated CP3 like a friend. And so I'm going to do that again today. When a friend has a decision to make, which he has to make by, I believe, August 1st, you walk them through their pros and cons. The pros of staying with the Suns would be you've got a young core. You've got camaraderie. You've worked as a team together. They see you as a leader. They can pay you $44.2 million pretty easily. I already said young core. Dry heat. It's a dry heat, which
seems
people
like
appreciate.
You're scrounging now for some more pros, Katie.
And
like
also, it would
the
make
end of the pros.
There's the weird thing you can't really put a name on, but it's the fact that fans would appreciate or at least not be mad at you for doing the thing they hate when you do, which is leaving and going to the Lakers. The pros of leaving, I guess, so the cons of leaving the Suns, I did this backwards, would be he lives already in LA. He already has a house in LA. He also would be playing with LeBron James, which who didn't want a minor banana boat reunion? Who doesn't want to see the gang that's never really been together get a little bit back together? I think people are kind of, that would be neat. Maybe he could win a championship. It would certainly increase his chances, I guess you could say. He would also get to play for the Lakers. There's good reasons and there's bad reasons. I would say... I don't know. I don't think you should decide right now, Chris. That's my final answer. Don't decide yet.
Wow,
think
if
about
you were my friend, Katie, if you were my friend advising me, I would say, what did you just say? Because I don't know where you're asking me to go. I see the pros and cons list just for Phoenix. Look, for me, I think staying in Phoenix, like you said, the young core, it just depends on how Chris Paul wants to end his career. Does he want to be the guy that says, hey, I found my place, I'm going to settle down, be sort of the grandfather to these young kids and see how far we can go. Maybe they can carry me to a championship, who knows? Or you say, all right, I'm at the point where I'm 36 years old, I've got to settle down with the red squad, if you will, in LA, and I've got to get LeBron James. And if you look at the match in terms of the way LeBron likes to play, he likes to sort of break down the game, take advantage of what the defense gives you, and go from there. That's what Chris Paul does. It would be a second LeBron on the floor almost, so it would be more of a fit to me than Russell Westbrook, who you just, you know, throw in the sort of crazy up and down the floor element to that game, which, you know, could work, but it still doesn't seem to match LeBron. The third option that I'm looking at you, Pablo, for this one, is does Chris Paul want to be the guy that goes to certain teams and just lifts them up for the rest of his career and says, hey, how far can I take this?
Bar
I don't
rescue.
Know. New York Knicks team. Yeah, a little bit of a bar rescue Chris Paul. Can he go to New York and turn Julius Randle into a next level of a superstar because he organizes that offense and makes Tom Thibodeau say, oh, I don't have to worry about the offense anymore. Chris Paul can do that. So I think that's actually a great fit, but it all depends on how Chris Paul wants to end his career.
Yeah, the mercenary life is intriguing to me now that you mention it, right? You can come to New York, you come say Philly, just throwing some cities out there at total random. Mm-hmm. I also like the idea, by the way, of a wife swap of point guards. Just like, hey, study abroad program mid-season. Just see how you like it. Maybe you can make a choice, maybe not. But for me, what is most sad about this, and I do think it's easier, by the way, for Chris Paul to go to the Lakers, because as much as I love the Phoenix Suns, and at the risk of learning nothing from this postseason at all, I do think it's a lot easier when you have Anthony Davis and LeBron James as a general principle, so go do that if you're my friend. But what I am most bummed about is that all of these conversations, right, like, they used to happen during the Olympics when these guys were on Team USA. That was supposed to be when all of these things are going down. You're supposed to hang out in your hotel room, plot super teams. KD and Kyrie come together. Anthony Davis and LeBron come together. Bosh, Wade, and LeBron. This is when they do their thing. And instead, we're just going to have like more videos like this where LeBron is inviting Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook over to his house in his like royal sculpture garden, smoking cigars and hanging out. And that does not help the bottom line of the US of A, which I think could really use it right now.
Up next on HQ.
Him complaining about the doctor who allegedly, per Nick Saban, couldn't tell the difference between his butt and a handful of sand, I believe is the phrase that he used. Time to play the game that really does wish that the 76ers had drafted Giannis instead of Michael Carter Williams. Do you question?
You give us
Rookie
topics and
year.
Events and we question them.
Do you question if the Dolphins are responsible for the Alabama football dynasty?
Well, you might be wondering what and why, but you'll remember Nick Saban coached the Dolphins for 2 years, and when he left, there was a lot of speculation about the reasons why, and one of the names that was always attached was Drew Brees. And it now we have confirmation. If I may just read this quote from Nick Saban, I decided right then when that happened that we don't have a quarterback in the NFL, we're not going to win, I'm getting out of here, I'm not staying here, I'm not going to be responsible for this. So if we are to believe Nick Saban and take him at his word, it was in that very moment that he had the presence of mind to understand that this would be a huge problem for the team and he had to get out and go start a huge college football dynasty. I would say that's a little too clean.
Well, there's definitely some revisionist history going on there, Katie, when you talk about it was Drew Brees or Dante Culpepper. They chose Dante Culpepper because he had the safer injury to deal with, which was a knee injury, okay? I lived through that down here, and I know a couple people from that team, and so I know that some players who liked him, yes, but there were some players who did not respect him. I'm curious when he decided to lie to everybody and say I wasn't going to be the coach of Alabama and look foolish in the process, but I guess that's another question for another day.
Yeah, my favorite part of this whole story is that the question he was asked, because he was talking to like some coaches in Texas, was, what was your biggest sacrifice as a coach? Like, that's what prompted this winding road to him complaining about the doctor who allegedly, per Nick Saban, couldn't tell the difference between his butt and a handful of sand, I believe is the phrase that he used, which is, you know, I think I'm going to start using that in my personal life. Honestly, that part was cool. But the rest of it, yeah, it is obviously revisionist history. And it's obviously meant to indicate that Nick Saban, the god of college football, was only mortal in the NFL for reasons beyond his control. But yes, he absolutely could have put this on the line at the time.
Did you say a butt and a handful of sand?
Do you question if the NHL should have had Marshawn Lynch announce every expansion draft pick?
I could give you the context for this, but even without it, I feel like you would just say, yeah, they should let him do that. But anyway, the Kraken, the Seattle Kraken, has been released, the expansion draft. The team called in a bunch of Seattle celebrities to help them announce their picks. Marshawn Lynch was among them, but Sue Bird, Sean Kemp, Gary Payton. But let's see Marshawn's.
Let's see. So with the... This the first pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the first pick, we're going with the boy Cali, though. You know what I'm talking about? Cali Yarncrow.
You just heard it. Cali Yarncrow to the Kraken from Beast Mode himself. Thank you so much, as always. Appreciate you.
Hey, look, Cali, if I didn't pronounce it right, tap in with me and let me know how to do it the right way, big dog.
You heard it from him.
Straight up.
God, I love Marshawn Lynch. That is the tried and true, if you don't want to try to attempt to climb the mountain of the last name, just say the first and bail. And I appreciate
that. The level of preparation. What is this, the first pick? Like, they just pulled him out of a car and said, hey, Marshawn, can you just do this real quick? And then, yeah, I can read Cali. Cali it is. I mean, Marshawn Lynch is a treasure. He just is. He should just make cameos in anything that just needs a little bit of spice. Anything that needs a little bit of laughter, just throw Marshawn Lynch in there and he'll just
unprepped.
Keep it.
I want him unprepped all the time.
Absolutely. I love him so much. I want him to be the face of the NHL at this point, not least because he has an excellent policy on faces.
If you just run through somebody's face, a lot of people ain't gonna be able to take that over and over and over and over and over again. They just not gonna want that.
Think there's a deeper metaphor there?
Run through a motherfucking face.
Do you think he could skate through a face? I don't know. Can you just skate through a face over and over? That sounds illegal.
Do you question whether this is the only correct answer?
All right, Tyler Hero was at some sort of public Q&A event, and a kid asked him a pretty interesting question.
In your opinion, who is the best Heat player of all time?
Oh, best team player?
Best Heat player.
Heat player of time.
That's a tough one.
I have to say LeBron James.
Okay.
I mean, I can't go
wrong. And that's why
LeBron, either or, but I feel like growing up for me, LeBron was probably my favorite player on the Heat.
See, what you guys don't understand, and sometimes I think there are people that in the adults don't either. It's all subjective. It's all what your opinion is.
Oh, man.
This guy.
Right or wrong.
Right.
My favorite, my the most celebrated player in the history is Wayne Wade.
For sure.
The cleanup.
I mean, it's embarrassing. Wait, right away. Yeah. They're like, and when he says that,
no, kids.
That is why Tyler Hero, I read a report this couple weeks ago, is 75% chance that he'll be traded from the Miami Heat this offseason, because there is only one answer, and that is the incorrect answer. And shout out to Tony Fiorentino, former color analyst for the broadcast, for pointing this out. There is only one answer. It is Dwayne Wade. For the entirety of his career, he was an amazing player. During 2008 to 2010, arguably the best player in the league. That included LeBron James.
Okay.
And yes, LeBron had a magical 4 years there, but it was a magical 4 years years.
He's just going to keep going.
Sorry, Tyler Hero. Yeah. That is just the incorrect answer. Time to play the game that really doesn't know why he's still joining you from a library. See? Oh, no.
Tell us what's on TV. We'll tell you if we're intrigued or not. Are we ever going to get an answer?
Tomorrow at 7 a.m. Eastern, the 2020 Olympics opening ceremony.
Oh, I'm torn. Because I love an opening ceremony, but I hate a 7 a.m. yes. Yeah, I'll watch it. There's not going to be any fans. I like to see how people problem solve on the fly. And we're going to see how this looks and who they're going to wave at. I mean, that's the whole thing, right? The athletes walk out and they wave. And then Cirque du Soleil of some type happens. And then the Olympics start, except that I think they already start before the opening ceremony. Yeah. A lot about this is confusing. But Izzy, are you intrigued? 7 a.m.
Very much not intrigued, regardless of the time. I've never been a big opening ceremonies person, but with this one in particular, with Japan and obviously a lot of people going through a COVID scare, I always think of like the line at Whole Foods in the middle of the pandemic where it was so long because you had to have 6 feet between everybody, and it's just like, man, this is going to take forever. These opening ceremonies with everybody distant, it's going to take forever. No, thank you.
Oh, Pablo, sorry, are you intrigued?
Yeah, thank you for asking,
Katie. How it's going to be the longest graduation ceremony that people watch on TV.